Good morning, everyone. Welcome to you all, to those here in the sanctuary and to those who are joining us online, either at this time or later in the day or the week. Let us worship God. We sing to his praise and glory, hymn 103, Fill Your Hearts with Joy and Gladness. The call to prayer comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Let us pray. Almighty God, throughout history, you have called people to yourself. We thank you for those who have heard that call and in faith responded. We think of Abraham, called to venture into the unknown, trusting that you would be with him. We think of Moses, called to lead your people from slavery to the promised land against all odds. We think of Samuel, called by you to a life of service, even before he realized it was you that was calling him. We think of the disciples called to leave the security of their livelihoods to follow Jesus. And we think of those in subsequent generations who have responded to your call, undaunted by the cost. Gracious God, we are your people today, and we have heard your call. Gladly, we recommit ourselves to you, and in faith we offer you all that we have and all that we are in Jesus' name. Eternal God, whose love defies description and whose patience is inexhaustible, we confess that like your people Israel, we do not always honour you in the way we live. We can be impatient when things do not go the way we want them to and turn to idols of our own making. We allow the things of this world to occupy our time and leave little time for you. We can be self-opinionated and fail to take on board the opinions of others. Almighty God, ever at work in our lives and in the world, forgive us our sins and redirect the course of our lives, that as the living body of Christ, we may each play our part within it and reach out to the world where you call us to serve. These things we humbly ask through Jesus Christ our Lord, and as the one people, we say the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For your information, the presbytery meeting on Thursday evening did not go on as long as I feared it would. We started at 7 and finished just after 9 o'clock. The Consolidated Presbytery Mission Plan was approved by the presbytery. It will be revised annually, but no change is anticipated in our own grouping for the foreseeable future. There'll be a further time of fellowship in the parish halls following the service today. Please do come along if you can. It would be good to see you there. The Kirk Session will meet in the parish halls on Tuesday at 7:30. There'll be a service in Eccles Court this Wednesday at 2 p.m. Following the service next Sunday, there will be a further time for prayer. That will be at approximately 11:40. Tickets for the Burns Supper on Tuesday the 28th at 7:30 are now available. Articles for the spring edition of the church newsletter, The Parishioner, should be submitted by the 9th of February, 3 weeks today. These can be left in the McMichael Chapel or emailed to the address on the intimation sheet. And finally, the craft group will meet in the front room of the parish halls this coming Thursday at 2. All will be welcome. I remember when I went to my first manse, which was a very, very big house. One of my friends gave me a toolbox. And I thought at the time, what a strange gift to give me. Other people, friends of my mother's, for example, would give me pieces of furniture to help fill, well, some of the rooms. And that was great. But a toolbox, what on earth was the use of that? Well, I have to say, of course, it has been a great use and continues to be to this very day. I'm sure most of us have a toolbox at home. But why is it that we need so many tools? It's because each one has a specific purpose, and no one tool can do absolutely everything. For example, if you want to hang a picture on a wall, well, you get the hook, but you need a hammer to hammer that hook onto the wall. A few weeks ago, I ordered a small table for the study, and my heart sank a wee bit when it arrived. It was a flat pack. Now, you probably know that I'm not very good at do-it-yourself, but with some patience and the help of a screwdriver, I was able to assemble the table. And of course, if you need to measure something, well, you would use a measuring tape. Each tool has its purpose. No one tool can do absolutely everything. And it's important that you use the right tool for the task. There's a sense in which the church is God's toolbox. Each one of us who make up the church have been given gifts. And no one has all the gifts that are needed for the church to function. Each one of us is different and unique. But when we work together and use the gifts that God has given to us, then the body of Christ can function fully and effectively. Today, as we ordain and admit new elders into the life of our congregation, I would like us to reflect on the gifts that God has given to each one of us, from the youngest to the oldest. And I would like us to commit ourselves afresh to God to use these gifts for the good of the church, the living, breathing body of Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to sing a great hymn, which I know you like because it has actions, and the elders up here at the front will give a lead in leading us with the actions. I'm just going to try and remember myself what the actions are. The hymn is number 204, I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. A wonderful, wonderful hymn. So when we sing I am the church, then maybe our thumb point to ourself, you are the church. I know it's not good manners, but maybe point to someone else. We are the church together. You can shake hands with the person next to you or just go like that. All who follow Jesus, reach out with both hands like that. All around the world, over our head, yes, we are the church together. Again, just go like that. So, I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. All who follow Jesus, all around the world, yes, we are the church together. Let's get fit. Let's exercise as we sing this great hymn. 204, I am the church.
Thank you.
Well done, everyone.
Reading this morning is taken from Exodus chapter 18, verses 13 to 27, and you'll find this on page 59 of the Pew Bible. That's Exodus chapter 18, verses 13 to 27. The next day, Moses took his seat to settle disputes among the people, and he was surrounded from morning till evening. At the sight of all that he was doing for the people, Jethro asked, "Why do you sit alone with all of them standing round you from morning till evening?" "The people come to me to seek God's guidance," Moses answered. "Whenever there is a dispute among them, they come to me, and I decide between one party and the other. I make known the statutes and laws of God." His father-in-law said to him, "This is not the best way to do it. You will only wear yourself out and wear out the people who are here. The task is too heavy for you. You cannot do it alone. Now listen to me, take my advice and God will be with you. It is for you to be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him, to instruct them in the statutes and laws and teach them how they must behave and what they must do. But you should search for capable, God-fearing men among all the people, honest and incorruptible men, and appoint them over the people as officers over units of 1,000, of 100, or 50, or of 10. They can act as judges for the people at all times. Difficult cases they should refer to you, but decide simple cases themselves. In this way, your burden will be lightened, as they will be sharing it with you. If you do this, then God will direct you, and you will be able to go on. And moreover, this whole people will arrive at its destination in harmony." Moses heeded his father-in-law and did all he had suggested. He chose capable men from all over Israel and appointed them leaders of the people, officers over units of 1,000, of 100, of 50, or of 10. They sat as permanent court, bringing the difficult cases to Moses, but decided simple cases among themselves. When his father-in-law went back to his own country, Moses set him on his way. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Thank you, Callum. Let us pray. Gracious God, your Son prayed that his followers may be one. In this week of prayer for Christian unity, we thank you for the fellowship we have with you and with your people in every time and place. We rejoice in the bond of Christian love that binds us together, and we praise you that, drawn from different denominations, outlooks, and traditions, we have the privilege of being the body of Christ. Loving God, as we reflect on our common love for you, we are mindful that sometimes we allow those things that make us different to come between us and to cause division. And when that happens, the body does not fully function, and our witness is greatly diminished. Lord God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon your worldwide church today. Help us to learn what it really means to be your people, and let us embrace one another and work together as sisters and brothers in Christ. Almighty God, as we pray for your church, we pray also for the world. Many are affected by natural disasters, droughts and floods and fire. Be with them. Many are affected by conflict, poverty, and climate change. Be with them. Many are facing all kinds of trials, due to ill health, anxiety, loss and pain. Be with them. Gracious God, we pray for the leaders of the nations and for an end to violence and hatred. We pray for the National Health Service, that it may be given the resources to cope with the pressure it is under. So be with all who seek to heal the sick and care for the dying. God of compassion and grace, in the knowledge that you hear our prayer, we take a moment to pause and to think of those people and situations that are uppermost in our minds at this time. God of love and hope, we praise you for your goodness to us, for the gifts you have given us, and for your promise to equip, guide, and provide for us. Hear this our prayer, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Holy Spirit, ever living as the Church's very life, we sing the hymn 615. There was a man who was known to lament about how busy he was and who was continually telling people about the number of commitments he had in his diary. A friend who was concerned for him took him aside and spoke to him. Yes, he was busy. But was he really needing to do all that he was doing? Might it be an idea to press the pause button, to reflect on his workload, and to ask himself as he did so, how often he spent quality time with his wife and children? The man was initially annoyed with his friend for saying what he did, but his friend's words remained with him, and after a while, he took them on board. He developed a better work-life balance, and he actually became a much happier and healthier person. That man was not alone in having the wrong work-life balance. Take Moses. He was a gifted and able individual. That is without question. But alas, he made the mistake of thinking he was indispensable. You will be familiar with the saying, if you want a thing done right, do it yourself. That pretty much sums up Moses' outlook. He had a keen sense of his responsibility, but it expressed itself in him being in total control. Nothing, it seemed, could happen without him being involved. I rather think that's how it was within many churches in times past. Ministers, intentionally or unintentionally, were a wee bit like Moses, and the culture that existed within the church at the time did nothing to challenge the situation. But it wasn't healthy. The leadership qualities of others were to an extent ignored, and the gifts of the people were not recognized or used in the way they should have been. Unhealthy, certainly, but one might also say unbiblical. In his letter to the Corinthians, St. Paul speaks of the church as the body of Christ. And he wrote, "You are Christ's body, and each one of you is a part of it." In other words, we all, regardless of whether we be an adherent, member, elder, or minister, we all have been given gifts. And these gifts, which are many and varied, must be used if the body, the church, is to fully function and be effective. Isn't it true that we can, on occasion, see in people we care about, family members and friends, patterns of behaviour and levels of stress or exhaustion that concern us because they are not sustainable? That's how it was for Jethro as he observed Moses. He feared he would wear himself out, that he would run himself into the ground, and that the people he was seeking to serve, far from benefiting from his leadership, would in fact suffer. Someone put it like this: Moses was like a one-man customer service department for thousands and thousands of people with complaints, and problems. And therefore Jethro, acting as a wise counselor, spoke to Moses. I think you'll agree with me when I say that unsolicited advice, such as the advice the friend gave to the man who was spending too much time working, is not always something we welcome. We may even resent it, or at the very least be offended by it. But Jethro spoke to Moses in a way that what he said was not perceived by Moses to be critical or judgmental, but helpful and for his own good. The burden is too heavy to carry alone. Do your bit, but do not seek to do it all. Involve others in the work and share the load. Share. One day, an old couple walked into a restaurant. The man went up to the counter and ordered their food. He brought back to the table a hamburger, a small amount of fries, and a drink. Carefully, he sliced the hamburger in two and then neatly divided the fries into two small piles. He sipped the drink and then passed it to his wife. She took a sip and passed it back. A young man at a nearby table observed the couple and began to feel sorry for them. He offered to buy another meal, but the old man respectfully declined, saying that they were used to sharing everything. The old man began to eat his food while his wife sat still, not eating. The young man continued to watch the old couple, feeling there was something he should be doing to help. As the old man finished his half of the burger and fries, the old lady still had not started eating hers. The young man couldn't take it anymore. He asked, "Ma'am, why aren't you eating?" The old lady looked up and, pointing to the old man, politely said, "I'm waiting on the teeth." You don't want to think about that one too much. But just remember the point. Sharing. Sharing the load. That's what Jethro advised Moses to do. And isn't what he said relevant for the Church of Scotland today? As the number of ministers declines to a level never known before, and as congregations link or unite, creating larger parishes, with the time commitment that can involve in ministers, particularly in rural areas, getting from one place of worship to another, one community to another, the old model is not only undesirable, it is, to be honest, no longer viable. That will, of course, be regretted by some, and perhaps deep down I regret it to a degree. But I am also of the opinion that our present circumstances offer new opportunities for service, that more people can not only share in a leadership role, but have the opportunity to utilise to the full the gifts that God has given to each and every one of us. Instead of if you want a thing done right, do it yourself. Let's have a different mantra. If you want something done right, find someone gifted and able to do it and ask them. Today, we have the happy situation of adding to the number of elders within our congregation. The role of the elder has always been very important, but it is perhaps more so now than ever before. And I welcome the opportunity to share the leadership within the congregation with the elders. As we grapple with a society that increasingly questions the place of the church, and as we seek to be relevant today in the world and the communities where we are called to serve, there is, I believe, an increasing need for Kirk Sessions to be imaginative and creative, to hold on to the best of the traditions from the past that still serve us well today, but also to be willing to do new things, to ask what it really means to be the body of Christ at this time, to prioritise and explore how best we can continue the work that Christ began. In this, the Kirk Session needs your support and your prayers. But can I also assure you, the Kirk Session wants you to know that your voice counts. Your opinions matter. You need to be heard. For you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Geese are amazing birds. They are not, of course, popular with everyone, not least farmers, because of the harm they do to the crops. But if you watch them fly, you will notice they do so in a V formation. As each bird flaps its wings, it creates an uplift for the bird immediately behind it. If a goose flies out of formation, it quickly realizes the difficulty of going it alone and rejoins the formation. But what of the lead goose? When it gets tired, it rotates back into the formation and another goose goes up front. Flying alone is difficult, but flying together makes all the difference. Isn't there a lesson there for the church today? These are difficult times. We mustn't downplay that, and we have to acknowledge the hurt, the pain, and indeed the anger being felt by some congregations as a result of decisions being made at this time. But my hope and prayer is that soon we will be able to move on, that a healing will take place, and that renewed by the Holy Spirit and remembering our true calling, which is to make disciples, we will work together as God's people, one people, forward in purpose and united in his service. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. I, the Lord of sea and sky, hymn 251. Welcome It's great to see you. Importantly, don't be stressed. Relax. You're among friends. Dear people, we have the joy of using our gifts as members of the Church of Christ, which is his body, continuing his ministry in the world today. Those who are chosen for the office of the eldership have the particular responsibility of caring for God's people and exercising oversight and leadership. Today, the Kirk Session is met to ordain William Fraser Evans, Christopher Mackay, Stephen Andrew Livingston Reed to the office of the eldership, and to admit them, together with Jeanette Helen Coulthard, Wilson Stephen Henry, and Christine Sarah Purser, as elders in this congregation. Due notice has been given, and I'm delighted to say no objections have been made, and therefore we proceed. In other words, you're not getting out of it now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King and Head of the Church, who being ascended on high has given gifts for the building up of the body of Christ, we are met to ordain to the office of the eldership and admit to that office in this congregation William Fraser Evans, Christopher Mackay, Stephen Andrew Livingston Reed, and to admit to the office of the eldership Jeanette Helen Coulthard, Wilson Stephen Henry, and Christine Sarah Purser. In this act, the Church of Scotland, as part of the Holy Catholic and Universal Church, worshipping one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, affirms anew its belief in the gospel of the sovereign grace and love of God, wherein through Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, incarnate, crucified, and risen, he freely offers to all, upon repentance and faith, the forgiveness of sins, renewal by the Holy Spirit, and eternal life, and calls them to labour in the fellowship of faith for the advancement of the kingdom of God throughout the world. The Church of Scotland acknowledges the Word of God contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the supreme rule of faith and life. The Church of Scotland holds as its subordinate standard the Westminster Confession of Faith, recognising liberty of opinion on such points of doctrine as do not enter into the substance of the faith, and claiming the right and dependence on the promised guidance of the Holy Spirit to formulate, interpret, or modify its subordinate standards, always in agreement with the Word of God and the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith contained in the confession, of which agreement the Church itself shall be sole judge. Friends, in view of this declaration, you are now required to answer this question. Do you believe the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith? Do you promise to seek the unity and peace of this church, to uphold its doctrine, worship, government, and discipline, and to take your due part in the administration of its affairs? The Lord bless you and enable you faithfully to keep this promise. You are now required to sign the prescribed formula.
Thanks, Jan. Just in there, freeze it. Thanks, Wilson. Just in there. Thanks, Wilson. Just there, Chris, have a great. Thank you. Thank you. Just there, Christine. Stephen.
Let us pray. Loving God, you have chosen for yourself a church in which your Holy Spirit inspires women and men to serve your purposes of love. We give you thanks that by your grace you have called these your servants whom we have named before you to lead and care for your people as elders in your church. We commend them to you now as we ordain and admit them to the office of the eldership within the church of your dear Son. Grant them the gift of your Holy Spirit, that their hearts may be set on fire with love for you and for those committed to their care. Make them pure in heart as those who have the mind of Christ. Give them vision to discern your purpose for the church and for the world you love, and keep them faithful to the end in all their service, that when the chief shepherd appears, they may receive glory, a crown that never fades, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Dear friends, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the great King and Head of the Church, I declare you to have been ordained to the office of the eldership, and I admit you to office as elders in this congregation and parish. As a sign of our welcome, we give you the right hand of fellowship. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Welcome, Jan. Welcome, Fraser. Welcome, Wilson. Welcome, Chris. Welcome, Christine. Welcome, Stephen. Friends, will you please welcome our new elders with a round of applause. It is indeed a great joy to welcome you as elders, and your presence and contribution will be most welcome on a Sunday and at other times, not least at meetings of the Kirk Session. We're a friendly bunch within the Kirk Session, and I hope that you will find fulfilment in this new sphere of service and great joy in discharging your duties. As I said earlier during the sermon, please do pray for all our elders, and particularly for those who have been ordained and admitted today. Encourage them. Welcome those who will visit you in your homes, and let us all work happily together as members of Christ's body to the glory of his name. Now, I don't think you need to go back over there. There's space in this second pew, and I think you should just take your place there, and I think you'll find there's some hymn books there too. So if you join the session, that'll be lovely. Can I remind you of the invitation to gather at the parish halls following the service, where you'll be most welcome? It would be good to see you there. We bring our time together to a close by singing hymn 500, Lord of Creation, to you be all praise.
Thank you.
You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Go forth in Christ's service, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you, now and forevermore.